Packers all the time.
You know, I am a play the high side of caution, as Mike McCarthy used to say, guy, but the guy's got to play. He needs the work in game. So it's an interesting dilemma that they're going to face come this summer.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill. Nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District, enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Want to get right down to business with Jason Wilde this morning. How you doing today, Jason?
Oh, I didn't want to get right down to business. I had an important question. But
oh,
let's get
no.
down to business.
What's the important question?
So, I usually say, hi, guys. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is guys a gender-neutral word now? Because yesterday in his press conference, Matt LaFleur said something about you guys, and then he added this kind of awkward, like, gals or ladies or something to it. And I would like to know, especially since we have a gal or lady on the panel, when someone says, hey, what's up, you guys? Do you consider yourself left out of that equation?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Right?
Guys is right? Ubiquitous.
It includes everybody. I don't have to do some sort of awkward gal addition. Hey guys and gal.
Correct. Right. I agree.
Thanks. No, even if it's all girls, you can say hey guys.
For sure.
Really?
Absolutely. But does that bother you? You don't want.
No, just when Gianna has all her friends over, I'm like, hey gals.
Well, that's fine, too, but you could also say, hey, guys, and I don't think anybody would be offended. I can't speak for every woman on the planet.
If you'd like to, though, feel free.
Just my guess. Jason, we want to talk to you about David Bakhtiari, and I preface this by saying I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't want to paint him as a villain here, but he does seem to be distancing himself from the team as he continues to dig his heels in on this rebuilding thing. And I was just saying, at some point when the general sentiment from other guys on the team has been one thing, it's not a great look to continue to be the guy who's like, but what if the sky is red? The sky could be red. You know what I mean? Like, so we asked our loyal listeners this morning, is it fair for the fan base to question his commitment to the team?
Wow. So did you guys, it was a huge group around Bakhtiari yesterday. Is there audio of that? Have you guys been able to hear him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played some audio in our first segment.
So I gotta be honest, I'm at the exact opposite end of the spectrum on him after he talked yesterday, because I thought his position on rebuilding was, I thought he was a tiny little bit, I don't want to say apologetic, that's not the right word, but or contrite, but like, I thought he added some context. I thought he would walk it back, right? I went into that thinking, well, he's going to say, I was just, speaking emotionally or whatever else, or whatever it might have been. I had a greater issue with him calling the Packers they in that podcast that he was on, but as someone who kind of enters different shows and different conversations and gets into different moods during them, that seemed like a podcast where it was pretty tough, free and loose. And so, maybe he got carried away. I don't know. All I know is when he talked about rebuilding, he made a point that I haven't heard anyone else make. We have talked before about how bad the division and the conference could potentially be, that even a rebuilding team could be in playoff contention by year's end. He brought up the Seattle Seahawks of last year, which I have not, maybe you guys have talked about it when I'm not on, but I have not heard anyone actually use that example. They traded Russell Wilson for a raft of picks and players. They clearly have been rebuilding their roster. And they still went 9-8 and snuck into the playoffs and obviously lost to San Francisco in the first round. But, like, Geno Smith, I know he's been in the league a long time as opposed to what Jordan Love is, but a guy that you didn't probably expect to have a ton of success, had enough success to get himself a contract and to get his team into the postseason. I'm not sure that if you're a Packers fan, you feel the exact same way as you would if you were a Seahawks fan, but I thought he actually did a good job of saying, no, I'm standing by what I said, that this team is in rebuilding mode. He had a line about it being disrespectful to a Hall of Fame quarterback to claim that you're not rebuilding when you move on from him. And then he brought up the Seattle point. I thought he actually made me feel like, okay, I was questioning this guy's investment or commitment, and now I feel like, okay, he's going to give them their best. He doesn't believe that this team is going to be a really good team with 62% of its roster having 1 year of experience or less. But he actually turned my opinion on him. I wondered if he was going to be this kind of agent of chaos for this team this season. And now, his social media activity notwithstanding, I feel it. They're going to get his best. I don't know how good that is, and I don't know how good of a difference that's going to make in what the season looks like. But, you know, he was also honest about why he's there. Like, you know, I don't want somebody blowing sunshine saying, well, I'm a team leader and I need to be here because it's important. He's got a $700,000 workout bonus tied for the highest on the team. And if he didn't have that, I'm guessing he wouldn't be there. And then he also added that, hey, you know what? I'm actually having fun while I'm here. So I actually, if he was trying to kind of change the narrative about him, I actually thought he did a decent job of it yesterday.
Jason, you think they regret restructuring his deal because they probably could have moved him, right? If he's only going to be here 1 year, is that a Goody misstep?
Well, I personally think, and you know, I'm sure everybody has talked ad nauseum about Matt Scheinman's article in The Athletic, but, you know, I still think Goody threw Matt LaFleur under the bus. I don't care if Matt LaFleur took the blame after the game. The idea that Jordan Love wasn't very good against Kansas City in 2021 was that it was because of the game plan. I mean, they knew Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that Rodgers was out. I mean, I don't know if they found out late Tuesday night that week or early Wednesday, but they knew Rodgers was out. So to say it was just because of his game plan, I don't buy that. But one of the things that did happen in that game was, as Matt pointed out, he was pressured 16 times on 30 dropbacks. Well, how can you help a young first-year starter succeed or at least give him a fighting chance? By protecting him. And obviously Bakhtiari wasn't in that game. He missed virtually all of the 21 season with his ACL. In my opinion, Brian Gutekunst said this is the one guy that plays a premium position that is the one potential Hall of Famer I still have left on the roster. I'm going to keep him. If he ends up being a disruptive force in their locker room, like I agree, I was wondering if he was going to be, then it could be a misstep. But I think because he's a left tackle, because they clearly restructured this deal to say arrivederci to him after the season, I don't have a huge problem with it, but there's no doubt it's an outlier. Like, he's the one guy that, like, he didn't take, everybody needs to understand, his contract restructure was not a pay cut. Aaron Jones took a $5 million pay cut to stay from what he was scheduled to be paid. Bakhtiari, they just moved money around. It's a cap conversion, and he got like the big publisher's clearinghouse, $15 million check. In the form of a signing bonus, plus this workout bonus that they didn't get him on the cheap. They paid him a bucket load of money right up front in March and kept him. So it's a really fair question, Chu. He's an outlier for sure, but I think because of the premium position he plays and how much he can help Jordan Love succeed, that would be the only explanation as to why they would do that.
Jason, is there a disconnect between Goody and Matt LaFleur?
I personally think there is. I think that Matt feels like there's a, a certain measure of my opinion doesn't matter. That's the vibe I get. But again, I don't want all the aggregators of the world to see this on social media and turn this into a story. I don't know that. That's just the feeling that I get. I think I usually have a decent sense for this sort of thing. But look, the idea that they, for lack of a better term, lied to Rodgers about the Love selection to try and make him think that Matt didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, we all saw that. I remember, Gabe, you mentioned this in real time, how excited Matt LaFleur seemed to look on television, mm-hmm. right? Like, after we got past his kid making faces and whatever else. The other thing that I remember from Matt at that draft in his study was he was pretty pumped up to have gotten Jordan Love. Now, do I think that his opinion evolved once Jordan Love got to camp his rookie year and he saw how far he really did have to go? I think it might have. But, you know, it's interesting because I know that there have been personnel decisions that the coaches and Goody have disagreed on. I know that they're, you know, Jace Sternberger is a good example. The coaches didn't want him. They thought he stunk. And they wanted to keep Evan Bayless, who was a undrafted guy out of Oregon instead, who I think is still in the league. I think he's with the Chiefs on their Super Bowl team a couple years ago. But you keep draft picks in Green Bay. All 11 from last year are still on the roster. Obviously, all 13 from this year are on the roster. I think that, you know, Matt LaFleur thought Amari Rodgers was a good kid and a hard worker, but I think he thought he wasn't very good. And I think he realized that too. Like, I've told the story before when we were at a soccer game, and it was during the summer of Rodgers' discontent. And I said, you know, obviously Rodgers is going to want Randall Cobb back if you guys are going to get him back. And he's like, well, how am I going to get him and Amari Rodgers on the field at the same time? They play the same position. I said, first of all, you're a smart guy. You'll figure it out. But secondly, like, Amari Rodgers is a rookie. You don't know how good he's going to be. You know what Cobb is. He may not be healthy all the time, but you know the connection he has with your quarterback. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And I don't think Randall Cobb's presence stunted Amari Rodgers' growth. I just don't think Amari Rodgers, with the quarterback who was as demanding as he was, and with the system and the way he performed and how nervous he was and how much he lost confidence, which I blame Rodgers for, he needed to play somewhere else. And I think Matt LaFleur saw that before Goody did. So I don't know what their working relationship is like. It's one of those things that once one or both of them are gone, we'll get the truth. But, you know, the thing that I'm still stunned by is that Aaron Rodgers, who clearly did not want Russ Ball to be the general manager, is now tossing bouquets to him in Scheidman's story about how much he was the one who evolved.
Oh, Captain Contradiction. I'm shocked by that. Jason, we got to let you go. We got Bill Zito joining the show in just a few moments. Thank you for your insight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on ESPN Milwaukee. That's right, Bill Zito, GM of the Florida Panthers. Why? Because he's a Milwaukee guy. He joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.